Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be sort of relaxing. Oh, I know you're getting ready for Thanksgiving. This is the kickoff of the holiday season this week. But why don't you just sit back, have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, and just relax. I don't care how busy you are. And let's learn about small pleasures. Ah, yes, finding grace in a chaotic world. My guest today is Justine Toms. Justine, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Donna. It's so good to be with you this afternoon.
Well, you are quite a busy lady yourself, and I found when I went through your material, it was quite interesting. You're the co-founder and managing producer of New Dimensions Media World Broadcasting Network. It's a worldwide media communications group that seeks to explore all kinds of possibilities that's going on in the world today. And you do workshops. You have also co-authored other material. You really wrote this book for yourself in many respects, but at the same time, it's as if you wanted to expand it and share it with other people. Am I correct in my observation?
Absolutely, yes. You know, I've been working for 35 years now in radio, as you have been working for a long time in this wonderful medium of radio. And oftentimes people will ask me, well, what have you learned in these 35 years of talking with some of the brightest visionary wisdom leaders of our time. This book really came out of that as I really looked and said, well, what is it that really holds me up? What is it? What is that stepping stone that I use to get me across the chaotic stream of my own life?
Mm-hmm.
And there have been themes that have come up through the years, recurring themes of things that I do that really hold me together, especially in such a tumultuous time. So this book really came out of that, of looking at those stepping stones, so to speak, or those five pieces of advice that have consistently served me over the years.
You start off in your book, the very first part of your book, talking about a wider landscape. And to me, that's one of the things that being involved with media has given me, and also being in the intuitive area of work has made me very aware that life is not a box. It's constantly breathing deeper, expanding more. And every time I think of science where it says, gee whiz, we thought the universe was shrinking, it's doing just the opposite. And I thought, isn't that fun? Because that's what I've observed for a lot of years. Gee whiz, so glad somebody scientifically finally caught up with that. But that is the way life is. And if you think you know it all, well, excuse me, grow old and become boring. There's just never a possibility of gaining momentum and just getting there. It's always a process of ever expanding oneself. And I like the thought that was in the very first sentence of A Wider Landscape, and that was a quote that you gave about Reverend Mary Manon Morrissey. She said, anything in the world we can see in full bloom started as a seed. And that is something a lot of people do not understand. When they see someone successful, when they see things that are totally accomplished and they look at that and maybe they feel like they're just beginning or maybe they have come to a standstill in their life and they go, oh, that's something, they could do it, I could never do it. But everybody had to start from somewhere.
Well, exactly. It has to start somewhere. And, And Reverend Mary Manna Morrissey, she also said, she also talks about how everything is born twice. And first it's born of the imagination, and then it's born out into the world. So whatever we can, I think that the imagination is one of the most marvelous gifts that we have as human beings, this power of the imagination. And in order to keep it revved up, that means we need to keep our hearts and our minds open. We have to remain curious about the world. Keep asking new questions about the world. Stay in what Suzuki Roshi would say, in the beginner's mind. And he talked about how the beginner's mind has many possibilities, whereas the expert's mind, there are very few possibilities because mm-hmm. they've got it all figured out. Well, I think we're in a in a real big time of change, and I find this very exciting, even though it's scary too. But it's also very exciting, because when else can we have just major change when there's all this disruption? That's when the big change comes, and we've been looking for it because things have not been working. They don't work for the planet. They don't work for so many reasons, for so many of us. And so now we get to re-choose it a new way. And yes. together we can imagine a new way of doing it that works for most all people.
And something I think that is important that I really feel is necessary, is if you're going to be objective, be objective, fine, but let's stop the blame game.
Oh,
I get so weary of it. I got weary of it with the politics. I got weary of it with so many different things that I've observed recently. I get weary of the fear-mongering. I'm a very practical person. I'm very down-to-earth. I'm not an airhead. But I get very weary of this because these are patterns that for many generations were their MO. Just as you said, it's time to shift. We need to make it okay to explore. We need to make it okay to experiment. We need to make it okay to expand potentiality.
And you know, Donna, it's also important, and this is a big theme of mine, it's also important that we be able to stand in paradox. And as you say, not go to blame and judgment, but to stand and hold that the tension of paradox. You know, David White, who is somebody up your way, a poet living up your way, he talks about the Celtic tradition, the old native Celtic tradition, where he talks about how they are able to hold different worlds together. And you know, this is such a useful thing for us right now in postmodern world, where our focus is so fragmented, and where we should be able to learn how to hold different things together. And in order to do that, Donna, we must have a very deep interior focus. That means that we have to have an internal foundation able to anchor us in the world while we're involved in all these different layers and levels and as we figure these things out. So that means a deep spiritual practice or an introspection, time for introspection. That's very important in these times. And I talk about that in my book as well.
I would like to address a segment in your book that I really had fun with. And it was called Hanging Out in the Landscape of Difficulties. And you were serving on a board of directors of a particular organization. And you're a doer. I mean, if something has to be done, by golly, you're going to get it done. And there was a fellow board member that you had mapped out a solution. Everything was there. And he came back with a remark. He said, Justine, I appreciate your suggestions, but I'm not ready to work on solutions. I need to hang out in the landscape of the difficulty a while before I can feel I can start finding answers. And that turned your whole thought process around.
Well, it changed my whole life. I just realized that, you know, I Western, as Westerners, we all tend to do this. We go for solutions so fast. We don't want to be in that uncomfortableness of the problem. We just want to go ahead and solve it. But sometimes we need to take the time to hang out in that landscape of the problem. And really, you know, it was Albert Einstein who said, you know, if I had an hour to solve, to come up with a solution that my life depended on, I would take 55 minutes to figure out the right questions to ask. And then after that, asking those questions, it wouldn't take me more than 5 minutes to find the solution. And that's where we are right now. We're in this place that we're going to hang out for a while in this sort of netherland of, okay, what about the financial? What about the financial crisis that's happening? You know, no one has the single solution right now. No one. You tune into any media, and they're coming up with this or this or this. But so what we're having to do is to just hang in there, keep talking, keep listening, hold that tension, and then the solutions will come, and they'll be deep. And they will be penetrating, and they will be really marvelous solutions, not quick fixes, but the deep ones that we need.
A girlfriend of mine many years ago made a statement that I've often used in talks. She said that she had come up through the McDonald's mentality. And I remember when she said that to me, I said, huh, what are you talking about? She said, well, I grew up with your being able to get a hamburger in 30 seconds. And so she said, when I was growing up, I thought that is the way it's supposed to be. She said, with everything in life, and it took me a long time to figure out there wasn't always a 30-second fix. In fact, it sometimes was a 30-year fix. And
right.
I thought, interesting perspective.
Right.
And that sort of goes along with what you are saying. You have a term that I thought was cute, a sparkle brain.
Oh, I just, you know, that I love that. You know, that term came to me when I had talked to three different people who were, they were all over like 80 years old, and one was in her 90s. And I was wondering, what is it about these people? They are so excited. They are so vibrant. They are so just excited about their life and very much into being active. And I was wondering, what do these people have? And I came across a survey that talked about four attributes that what I call sparkle brain people have in common. And those four attributes, you'd think that, okay, it's that they're all living a long life because they eat well or exercise well or any of that stuff. But that wasn't what they had in common. What they had in common was, number one, they were lifelong learners.
Mm-hmm.
That learning was part of who they were. They, you know, whether it was learning to knit or learning to a new language or learning like I'm right now, I'm learning how to juggle. You know, I've decided that I'm going to learn how to juggle. So this is one of the things they had in common. Another one is that they're doing something meaningful, something that they feel makes a difference in the lives of others. So they're volunteering in some way. You know, my aunt is a sparkle brain, and she lives up there near you. She lives on Kameno Island. She is 87 years old, and every week she goes and reads to the elderly.
In fact,
she's reading my book to the women that she goes and visits every week at the senior citizens' home. And she definitely is a sparkle brain. And the fourth thing that they have in common is that they have an ability to stay flexible. In other words, you know, in times of great change, it's so important to be able to be flexible and to move with change and not to be too attached to the way, to an outcome or a certain way that it should be. Let's be surprised. Let's stay flexible, because the outcome might even be better than we could possibly imagine. And the fourth thing that they had in common was that they were able to adjust to loss, and something that we all, you know, we're living in a rushing of change on the planet, and in to try and hold back the tide of this is just going to take more energy than we could ever do. So what we can do is to look with wonder and amazement at this time, and just, you know, adjust to things that are falling away and know new things are coming that are really good. So we all must, those are four really wonderful things that I think Sparkle Brain people have in common. So especially the lifelong learning, I love that.
Well, I interviewed 12, not 12 women, but a woman who had interviewed women that were 80 to 104 years of age. And many of the points that you brought out were exactly what she found, because she had just turned 70 herself. And
yes,
she said, I'm going to got to figure this out. You know, what is it that's making these gals have such a pizzazz in their life? And I'll use a word that reflects a different side of the perspective that you are presenting, and that is passion. They had a passion for something that enabled them to interact with others in a very personal, a very significant way to them. They felt useful, they felt valued, and they really didn't give a hoot about what anybody else thought about either.
Yes, yes.
But they were thoughtful, they were kind, they were articulate. As you said, they are learners, but they were also teachers. So
yeah,
their lives were filled. They didn't try to put themselves into a box. They just
it's such a temptation. We set up our homes and we have our TV and we all of our different things that we it's called cocooning. You know, we get isolated and insulated, and then pretty soon we become a voyeur to life. And you know, life is not meant to be a spectator sport. Life is meant to be out there engaged in it, and that's what keeps us vibrant and alive and outside of ourselves. We start to implode, and we start to get self-centered, and we start to feel sorry for ourselves, and we start to focus on our aches and pains. But when we're giving to someone else, it just takes our focus out beyond ourselves, and it just expands our whole world. And we have fun. And that's what we're here for. You know, this isn't some sort of galactic penal colony. This may be...
I like that. Galactic penal colony.
Right. Well, you know, I think that this is vacation land. We're supposed to be here and enjoy and have fun and play and sing and laugh and be together in just wonderful ways.
I like this. Speaking of that, you've got to tell the story about Sadie the goat.
Oh, Sadie the goat. Oh, wasn't she wonderful? Sadie the goat, she's one of my sections in the book is about how we learn from animals. And animals, really, they're just our animal companions. I mean, our dogs teach us all about unconditional love, don't they? I mean, and our cats teach us about it's really important to take naps. It's really important to go out in nature and watch the birds, you know, or do our yoga. But Sadie the goat, Sadie was a really wonderful milker, and a farmer borrowed her. He knew of her reputation, and he borrowed her from his friend and brought her over to his farm. And he would milk her every day, and after he milked her, he would open the barn door, and all the goats would walk out. He had other goats, too, and they would walk out, and Sadie would never leave the barn, and he would have to push her. He'd have to almost just pick her up and carry her out the barn. She just would refuse to go. Well, one day he had hired a helper, and it was a man who had gone all around the county, and he knew all the goats from all over the place, and he knew Sadie from the original owner. And the farmer said, you know, what's with this goat? I just can't get her to leave the barn. And he said, oh, well, I know how you get her to leave the barn. After you milk her, you have to put your arms around her neck and hug her, and you have to say, Sadie, thank you so much. You did such a good job. And then with that, she walks right out the barn door. And it's just amazing. Like, it wasn't that Sadie had a feeling about that it was more than just giving milk. It was about the relationship. And she's teaching us, when do we say thank you, you did a good job, to our coworkers or to our family or to our children, to remember that we need to say the words out loud. I mean, we feel them, but to remember to say them, to hug each other and say, oh, you did a good job. Or you really mean something to me in my life. You really matter to me. Whatever it is, we must say that to each other. We must express our love to each other. Do it verbally. Do it often.
The pursuit of happiness. I didn't know there was a secret society of happy people.
Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? You know, some years ago when that started, and the woman, I believe that the woman is from Oklahoma. I may be wrong about that. I don't have the reference right in front of me. But when she first did this, she was writing to all the different governors of different places, and some of them just said, well, we have no policy on happiness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Donna, we just did a wonderful program, which will actually, it'll take a little bit to get on the air, but we did a program with Tashi Wongchuk and Ann Mueller, and they have done, he's from Bhutan, and Bhutan actually has they call it the Gross National Happiness Index. And instead of, like, here in the U.S., we have the gross national product.
Mm-hmm.
And what we count in that product is we count illness is counted in there. And if people are spending lots of money on illness, that makes the gross national product go up, and that's supposed to be a good thing, you know. Their pollution could be counted in that, all sorts of things. But for Bhutan, what they're doing is they're looking at some basic questions. Are our citizens happy? Are they, what is their happiness index? And they have surveys that actually, ask the question. And it's not about money. It's not about, I mean, of course, everybody needs a roof over their head and food on the table and health care and education. Those are some basic needs, and when those things are happening, then what is happiness? Is getting more and more money going to make us happy? Is that what it is? Or what is it? And they find that there are other qualities. It's like it has to do with our relationship with each other. It has to do how much dignity we feel that we're being afforded in our own culture. All sorts of things, and it's a wonderful, wonderful index, and I'm hoping that we will really look at that in this country, too, as one of the indexes to say, how happy are we as a culture? I think we're pretty stressed out as a culture, and you know, we think buying things will do it for us, and I was just listening to the news, and feeling the tension about, like, all these stores that are slashing their prices, and the tendency is that, oh, people go in a buying frenzy. But is that going to give you the quality you want? Why not go directly for the quality of satisfaction, or the quality of love, or the quality of of peacefulness or the quality of laughter or joy. You know, we can go directly for those things. We don't have to go out and buy something to get it. We can go directly to it. We can have joy. Well, a lot of people are going to have joy because this week as we get together with friends and family for Thanksgiving, it's such a very special holiday, I think, here in this country, and it's being adopted all over the world.
You have a segment. You've got so many interesting portions of your book that I think can really be very, very soothing. But more than soothing, it allows you to sort of, upchuck what you really don't want and maybe chew your mental cud a little bit and then decide if you're going to keep it or you're not going to keep it and take more control over your mind space. You have a chapter, a little short chapter, on hope. And you bring up a comment how a single blade of grass can push itself up through a large cement slab. There's also so much more that you give in your book where it's meant to be inspiring and meant to give people different perspectives so that they realize that they have choice. And I think that's why your book, Small Pleasures, Finding Grace in a Chaotic World, is so well done. And the illustration on the cover is just so lovely. It's just very, very serene, very, very well done. Justine, I know we're just about out of time, and I know your book is in every major bookstore, and people can get it in on Amazon.com. Do you have a website they can go to?
I do. You can either go to my website, JustineWillisToms.com, or JustineToms.net, and Toms is T-O-M-S. Or you can go to the New Dimensions website as well, newdimensions.org. You can get to it from either place. And it makes a wonderful gift. People are giving it. People are buying several copies, and because they want to give it to their mothers and their aunts and their children. I mean, for any age, it just goes across all of that. It seems to. That's the feedback I'm getting. That it really goes across all ages, all different kinds of people. They all, because it's about everyday life. It's about standing in the grocery store line, and it's about worry. What do we do when we're worried? What can we do with that? What choice do we have when we wake up in the 4 o'clock in the morning? What can we do to help ourselves there? Or how can we, a little old me, make a difference in the world that I want to make a difference, but I don't feel I can? How can I do that? And so there are all these helpful hints to help us do that. And of course, animals as teachers. And circles of friends, there's a whole section on that, and that's something dear to my heart. Always, you know, to really surround ourselves with friends of the heart. To actually get together on a regular basis with people who support us in our fullness, that's so important.
I agree. I think that is so very, very important. Justine Toms, her book is Small Pleasures, Finding Grace in a Chaotic World. It'd make a super gift for this upcoming holiday season. Go to her website. You can go to newdimensions.org or Justine Willis. Toms, and Justine is J-U-S-T-I-N-E, Willis, W-I-L-L-I-S, Toms, T-O-M-S.com. And Justine, it's been an absolute pleasure having you as a guest. I do think that you give even some good exercises in here. One of them is, what do I love about my life most? And just to be able to expound on that. I think sometimes with the holiday season, we get so busy. We've got maybe a job, and we're taking care of preparations for the holidays, and we're doing all kinds of things. And to be able to give ourselves permission to say, no, I'm going to take an hour, maybe half a day. I'm going to do it just for me, maybe take a walk around the block or sit down with a good book. But I'm going to give the time to me. And I think when we're able to do that and we realize that that is what makes life richer, doesn't mean that we get less done. we actually will get more done because there will be a rhythm when we do
that's
that.
That's true. We'll get more done. We'll be more refreshed. We can go back at it in a more energetic way. Absolutely. So taking time for ourselves is very, very important.
Thank you, Justine. I hate to cut you off on, but we are going to have to go. I'm out of time. And again, Justine Toms, her book, Small Pleasures, Finding Grace in a Chaotic World. Justine, it has been a pleasure having you as a guest.
Thank you so much, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. More good things to share, including a little turkey. We'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are now open. If you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight, then give me a buzz at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227, or 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. And all you need to do when you call into the studio is give me your first name or your initial, and of course I always like to know where you're calling in from. And then after that, I'll give you my mental impressions, and then you're welcome to ask a question about anything that's of concern to you. Now, you were hearing just before the end of the break about Teresa Tapp. Well, she's going to be with us. That's right. She's going to be with us tomorrow. Tomorrow she's going to be with us. Look. I know with the holidays, if you're like me, you always are so concerned that you're going to be putting on so much weight because there's so much good food. And if you're in an area where it's getting colder, maybe you're not outside the way you were during the summer months, well, I don't want you to fuss and I don't want you to fret because Teresa has got this area covered. Believe me when I say that when you get into her stuff, it really makes a difference. But not only that, we're going to have a special we're going to be talking about. Actually, it's a special gift that she is going to be giving to 3 lucky people. So tomorrow on the show, you're going to find out about the 3 holiday gifts that she's going to want to give out to people. And we're going to talk about the amount of time, All you need to do is send me an email saying the Donna Sebo Show in the subject line, code DSS30. And, of course, I need your name and your contact information so we can be sure that you get the grip. We're going to be putting everybody's name into an email pot, and then there's going to be a drawing. So we're going to find out all about that and how you can be fit and fabulous in 2009 with Teresa Tapp. And I mean this. It really does make a difference. We're going to be talking about specific things, too, tomorrow, which I know you'll enjoy. So tell your friends, tune in, and listen. You're not going to want to miss this. And then also on December the 13th, I'm going to be appearing at a special event in Tacoma, Washington. For those of you who are listening from the Tacoma area, this is the Dickens Festival at Stadium. This is a one-day event. It's on a Saturday. It's fabulous for the family. They have so many things going on, and there's so much free activity. It's just absolutely great. And last year I was a participant, and it was so much fun. And, of course, you have to be in costume, and it's just an absolutely marvelous way to get revved up for the holiday season, and it is right down in the Stadium District. So if you want all the details about the events and everything else, go to dickensfestival.net, dickensfestival.net. And I will be appearing at the King's Bookstore from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., and I'll be doing many consultations for people. And part of the proceeds will be donated to a particular charity that is in the community area. So all of that information will be made available to you. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. The beloved turkey. There are going to be so many millions of these birds sitting on platters in homes and different facilities throughout this nation of ours and in different parts of the world. It was a natural bird in the Americas. In fact, wild turkeys were very much respected, and they were big. But these were birds that the Indians had long been familiar with and taught the colonists that came over into America all about them. But they're incredible birds. You know, European colonists that came over, they imported chickens, turkeys, ducks, geese, and guinea fowl because it was pretty rugged living in this country. And domesticated fowl generally foraged for themselves. And they had to be protected from predators, so what do you keep them in? You keep them in a coop. Now, domesticated turkeys were reportedly raised in Jamestown by 1614, but they were apparently fairly rare in 1623 because somebody passed a law imposing the death penalty for the theft of turkeys. Wow, can you believe that? The death penalty for the theft of a turkey, if it was valued at more than 12 pence. Now, 10 years after that law was enforced, Jamestown was filled with a bunch of turkeys. No, not the two-legged kind, human form. No, not those. We're talking about the gobble-gobble turkeys. Now, the domesticated turkeys ended up being sent to Massachusetts Bay because that ended up being a very good business. Now, during the early years of America, wild turkeys, as I mentioned, were numerous, and they were fairly easy to get. People would stand on their front porch and shoot them down. Wild turkeys actually are pretty intelligent. In fact, most hunters will say it's pretty hard to get them. But at that time, there were so many of them that it was easy to pick them off. Now, domesticated turkeys were smaller than the wild ones, and domesticated turkeys destroyed crops and caused other damage if they were not under control. And a lot of farmers didn't like raising turkeys because they thought they were so mischievous that it wasn't economical to raise them in large numbers. Well, obviously, that has changed because we raise them by the tens of thousands. So cooks had to be separate, you know, had to really deal with the turkeys on a very special way. And the male turkeys had to be separated from the females, especially when they laid eggs, the females laid eggs in, the hens laid eggs in the spring. Now again, there was a time when turkey farming was marginal. and they really didn't pay a lot about breeding them. Free-range domesticated turkeys ended up mating with wild turkeys, and new breeds ended up developing. One of them was called the Blue Virginia. It was much larger than the European turkey and was much better as a food source. Now, they increased, the turkey flocks increased to such an extent that by 1744, they were being exported from southern colonies to the West Indies. Yes, to the West Indies. Of course, that's when business started expanding. And, of course, by the following century, American turkey growers were sending thousands of turkeys abroad. Two turkey growers in Massachusetts in 1833 sent a total of 1,300 live birds to London. Those went over by ship. Amazing. But the most significant thing about turkeys related to industry, and this had to do with the tobacco industry. Turkeys like worms. And one of the things that they found is that the turkey was really a very helpful, natural aid to keeping worms, the tobacco worms, at bay. They actually call them tobacco horn worms. And they just infested tobacco fields in a horrible way from, you know, in the South, from June until August. Now, they didn't have pesticides then. And the planters that were raising tobacco, which was a phenomenal industry for them, made a lot of people very wealthy, did not know how to battle this other than sending slaves through the fields to pick these bugs off. They'd have to hand pick the worms from the tobacco leaves. And in the course of doing that, more than half of their crop usually would be lost, and of course that was an economic disaster. Well, they found out that when turkeys were allowed to roam in the fields, and turkeys are omnivores, they would feast on insects and bugs, and they would just love to find the large, meaty tobacco worms. It was like it was candy to them. Well, by the mid-18th century, planters were sending turkeys into their tobacco fields to eat the worms, and the tobacco grower would keep a flock of turkeys, which he drives into the tobacco grounds every day, that there would be a person that would put in charge of the turkeys, making sure that they did what they were supposed to do, and the tobacco crop would be nice and healthy. Now, one turkey apparently could eat worms from an estimated 1,000 plants, but 50 turkeys could handle an estimated 100,000 plants if they were properly managed. So they would just allow them to sort of graze among all those tobacco plants and just feast on all those bugs. What a way. You know, they're doing the same thing in the groves of the wineries. And this is something that the Europeans have been bringing up and working with on a more extensive basis, but allowing chickens to run through, allowing different creatures to go through where the vines are growing so that they keep the bugs at bay. They have found that not only is it healthier, but the grapes are actually tasting sweeter because they're not using pesticides like they did before. So it is fascinating to me. Here we are, 1700s, turkeys going through tobacco fields, picking bugs off. They're starting to do the same thing today. And in Europe, again, and in Fetzer Wineries is one of the wineries that started organic wines. And it really has made a difference. They started doing things in what we call an organic manner. Doing what nature does in so many ways, allowing different critters to take care of what needs to be taken care of. So there's just so much here, but turkeys are phenomenal. The history about them are absolutely amazing. I never realized how much there was to it until I had a guest, Andrew Smith, and he is a turkey specialist, my guest Leo Pearlstein that I had on last week, who's been very much involved with the turkey industry for years and years and years. Well, he happened to get to know Andrew one year when I had Andrew on as a guest, and then Leo found out about Andrew, and Andrew found out about Leo because I connected them. What a fun conversation that was. So as you're sitting down, know that that wonderful bird that you're going to be feasting on has a tremendous amount of history that goes back a long, long way and has done a lot of good other than just feeding us. Has been a very important balance in the level of nature. Donna Sebo here. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to give you some tips on how to do that day after Thanksgiving shopping. Don't go away. 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. Okay, one of the biggest shopping days throughout the year is the day after Thanksgiving. Why? Because there are sales galore, absolutely incredible sales that go on. One of my most memorable experiences was with a very, very dear friend. And I have never been one, had never been one, to go out the day after Thanksgiving. Usually I was so pooped from doing all the cooking for Thanksgiving or whatever was done. That wasn't of interest to me, and I wasn't interested in being in crowded shopping malls. But my girlfriend said to me, hey, let's go do this. So it meant after having a huge thing at the house and feeding all these people, I had to be up early in the morning to meet with her in Seattle. So we did this, and we were there, I think it was at 8 o'clock in the morning. Yes, I know, we were a bit crazy. But anyway, 8 o'clock in the morning, because the stores were opening early. So we get there, we had on our walking shoes, carried a couple of bags, because we knew we were going to be bringing some things out, and off we went. Of course, Seattle is one of the best places. It's sort of like New York City. You just go in, they have a parade, they have all kinds of stuff going on the day after Thanksgiving. And we were there, and we just went nonstop from the time we arrived until we left about 3 o'clock in the afternoon because it was getting a little bit crowded. But we had just had a marvelous time. She knew where all the sales were. We had just great, great fun exploring in the mini shops and stores and looking at all of the wonderful holiday decorations that were out and about and meeting and interacting with different people. It was just a marvelous, marvelous day. But we did get some good buys. So I came across some information, 5 points, that if you're going to be going out, and this is just a few days away, you want to be sure that you are prepared. And why not have fun in the process while you're doing it? Now, point number one, if you want to be treated like a VIP, make sure that you present discount cards or ask if discount cards in any way will give you a break on price, like the AAA, there might be some others, But you can find out about that. There are special VIP books that are filled with coupons. And you can go to AAA.com and find out, if you're a member, what the discounts are, etc. And there's just so many different things that you can explore before you get ready to shop till you drop the day after Thanksgiving. Now, to avoid hassle, you want to pick the one aisle, checkout aisle, that you're going through that's next to a closed lane. Now, Donna Smullen is a woman that gives this tip. She said if the register opens, that register where the aisle is closed off, when that opens, you can move right over while the rest of the store is still waiting. So you've got to keep your eyes open. Best parking spot, the very first one you see, take it. There was a study at Virginia's Christopher Newport University that found that people who searched for a good spot ended up no closer to the store than those who picked the very first space they saw. And I would add a tip. This is a Donna tip. The earlier you get out, the better. Just be sure you're comfortable. If it's cold, like it is here in Seattle, where it's going to be down in the 30s, you want to be sure that you're dressed appropriately. Have something that when you're inside where it's warmer, where you can peel off a jacket, that's comfortable to do that, but dress for the weather. Wear comfortable shoes. And just be prepared to take your time. Don't be in a hurry with this. Four, beat the crowds. Just what I've said. Go to the earliest time. Most stores adjust prices up to 14 days after you've made the purchase. So if you buy now, you can avoid the Black Friday rush. Bring your receipt in after the item goes on sale, and they'll usually refund the difference. Snag the deals before the early birds. You want first dibs on all the deals? Don't want to line up outside the stores that morning? You can get them and even sleep in by ordering them on the retailer's website as soon as the clock strikes 12. Most stores have the same sales online starting at 12:01 as they do in the stores. Well, that's an energy saver. Also, be aware that if there are stores that you really like shopping in and you know the sales clerks, they'll tip you off to anything in advance so that you can hold it even. I was in a store once and I saw all these beautiful sweaters on sale and I said, oh, I'd really like to have some of that, but your sale doesn't start until such and such a date and I'm going to be out of town. The young lady looked at me, she said, I'll give you the sales price right now. And I looked at her. My eyes must have been popping out of my head because it was like 50% off. She said, you can have it right now. I will sell it to you right now. It was 4 days before the sale was going to go on. And I said, I'll do it. So I took it right then and there. So you never know. And sometimes salespeople will let you know what the discounts are going to be, so don't be afraid to ask. That's something I've learned through the years. When you're talking to salespeople, ask them when it's the best time to buy sales items for certain types of clothing or maybe appliances or something else. And, of course, we all know after the first of the year, that's a good time for a lot of different items. But that's just something you need to find out, and they'll tell you. They really know. If they've been a salesperson with that store or environment, they will give you that inside line. A sales tip number three, or I should say fun trip item number three, save time and gas. Find unadvertised specials. You don't need to drive all over. Check out their websites because they reveal insider discounts before the stores even announce them. Sometimes there's even secret deals nobody else knows about. Where can you go to find out about this? Well, there are two websites, BlackFridayAds.com, BlackFridayAds.com or BlackFriday.com. And you can get the deals all in one place. If the store is too far away, bring the ad to a similar store close by. You might be able to score the very same deal. Lots of stores will match prices of competitors. And five, save even more money. Get money back each time you buy. If you want to get paid to shop, head to sites like fatwallet.com and ebates.com before you go. Sign up to find out where the biggest sales are and get coupons to your favorite stores and even get cash back from purchases at selected retailers. And also save by saying no to what is not necessary often, and that is extended warranties. You know, experts say most products won't break during the first 3 to 4 years, and if they do, the repair cost averages about the same amount as the warranty actually is. My goodness, we're almost out of time. This is Donna Siebel. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You've got a lot to give in this life, and there are so many people that would be delighted to be able to get to know you and to learn about what you have to offer. So don't be afraid to spread your light around. Tomorrow, Teresa Tapp. That's right, we're going to be tea-tapping and keeping our figures even with the holidays. Yes, men and women both. Join us tomorrow with Teresa Tapp. Talk to you here, right here on BBSRadio.com. Bye for now.
Everybody out there, this is Xenia Sebo.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.